Good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for joining our next teleseminar topic on how to credential your medical staff. My name is Brian Torchin, and I'm the owner of HCRC Staffing. We're the one-stop shop for all your staffing needs. I see a lot of familiar faces, names, I should say, that have joined the teleseminar tonight. Thank you so much for coming back, docs. We appreciate all your support. And for those new out there who are just joining us on joining HCRC Staffing, we're the premier medical staffing solution for the chiropractic profession. We're your one-stop shop for all staff. So whether you're looking for an MD, an NP, a PA, a physical therapist, a chiropractor, or even general office staff, like an office manager, a billing manager, we do it all for you. If you ever need to get a hold of me or have any questions, it's 800-472-9060. Tonight we have a very special guest, an expert in the credentialing field. She's been doing this for years, and she can help you get all your MDs, your PAs, NPs, all your staff members credentialed into the various insurance companies. So I'm going to introduce her right now. Her name is Tia Aspra. She's the owner of the firm, along with co-owners Chris Aspra and Pam Kendricks. They possess over 35 years of combined experience in the medical credentialing, consulting, and medical billing industry. And they offer extensive expertise in all areas of commercial insurance, workers' compensation, personal injury, third-party administration, and both Medicare and Medicaid. Tia Aspra has been working in the credentialing, billing, and compliance field since 1997. She's also a nationally recognized speaker, lecturing providers and their staff on identifying coding and compliance issues. She also serves as support to the legal defense for providers encountering malpractice, audit, and other legal issues. She is also an expert in the area of correct credentialing and re-credentialing practices, from legal business status, contractual requirements, required documents, and contract negotiations, and also how to prevent delayed reimbursement during the credentialing processing, an area of expertise that is rarely found in the medical field. Her team of consultants, certified reimbursement specialists, data entry pros, and coding specialists continue to better serve their clients through ongoing training seminars and workshops to confront the ever-changing healthcare issues of today. Tia, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me, Brian. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to our visit today and hope we can help a lot of providers out there in eliminating many of the headaches that go along with this whole process.
Oh, fantastic. I'm sure you can. You know, going over your credentials, it's quite extensive, and this area of expertise is so needed for both my clients and for practices in general out there. I know credentialing is one of the biggest headaches for providers, especially because a lot of them don't have a go-to resource to get this done, and many of them try to do it on their own, which I find to be very headache oriented for their staff and also the providers who are trying to get credentialed. Can you spend some time, give us a little bit of intro about, you know, a brief overview of what you do and, you know, basically what is credentialing and what you do to help in that process?
Certainly. I sure can. And it's very interesting how we became credentialing experts. We're a billing company as well as a medical consulting company. And when I say consulting, what I'm talking about is a little different than what you do. We are more limited, not quite as broad as you are. We're focused on just collecting for the doctor, keeping the money flowing as they go through various processes, whether it's compliance and consulting, whether it's billing and collections, or whether it's how credentialing is affecting those things. And the way we became experts, and have the expertise now in the credentialing side is because we're such great billers. And the billing side, if you're strong in that area, if you know billing and you know collections, then you better know credentialing because they directly impact one another. You can't have good collections or proper or a healthy AR if your contracts and credentialing are not properly handled. And so as a billing company, for many years I'd get calls from new clients and they would say, well, I want you to do my billing. I tell you what, my AR is a mess. I don't know what's going on. The money's not coming in. I think I just need to get rid of my billing person or department. Something's not right. Well, one of the first things that we do is assess your practice, and some of the very first questions I talk to that provider that's in trouble about is, okay, let's talk about your contracts. Who are your providers? Who are you contracted with? Have you made any changes lately as far as your tax ID, your business status, your corporate status? That is where it all begins, and we can start drilling down on why the collections are a problem. And I can tell you, many times, I would say 50% of the time, it goes back to improper credentialing. So here at the firm, we do billing, we do credentialing, and we do consulting, but credentialing is really the catalyst. It's kind of where it all starts, and it has to be done appropriately, or again, it will directly impact your collections. So that's how we at the firm became not only billing and consulting experts, but we became, you know, by default, we became credentialing experts. It's a huge part of your money, of your collections.
Oh, wow, that's great. So besides, yeah, even credentialing, you're actually experts in billing and coding then as well?
As well, absolutely.
Wow, that's a huge, huge help. So,
well, it really helps the provider to, if you, when, it's very, it's not unusual for us to become a provider to call us needing help in whether it's a chiropractic practice or the multidiscipline model, MDDC practice or DCPT practice. It's not unusual for us to get a call just on how to go about that process, and maybe even referring to a company like yours to help them get started, recruiting all of that part of the model, and then find once we start working with them, well, hey, you know, we do have credentialing issues. I wasn't aware of that. We need you to do our credentialing too. So then we take care of that part, and during that process, like, well, shoot, maybe we need you to do our billing. So it all fits together, and that's why we're really considered the go-to folks, you know, in this industry when it comes to the whole package, because to be a strong, you know, have a strong AR, have a good collection, strong billing, you have to have that credentialing in place. We know how to do both.
That's great. So what can you kind of go over for some of the people who don't really know what credentialing is and what it means?
Sure. And it can be confusing because credentialing, it's really credentialing / contracting. It's really a multi-tiered process. Credentialing in general terms means that you, your provider, your practice and your provider want to enter into a contract with the insurance carriers so that you are actually an in-network provider, and what that will ultimately do is point those members of that insurance company, your patients, the insurance company's members, to your practice. Obviously, a patient, no matter how much they love you as their doctor, and no matter how good you are, in most cases, they want to go where their insurance is accepted, where they're going to have the smallest amount of out-of-pocket. In other words, the smallest amount of patient responsibility. And by being a contracted provider with these insurance companies, it encourages those patients to come your way. I'm not in love with insurance companies by any means. They're my biggest enemy in my day-to-day work, whether it's credentialing, billing, or collections. But they're a necessary evil, and you have to play the game. You've got to know how to play it because patients want to go to a provider that honors their insurance at the in-network rate so that they will pay a smaller out-of-pocket. Credentialing and contracting, there's two parts to it, as I mentioned previously. Credentialing is when we go into the process with the insurance company initially of there's pre-screen interviews. We have to do basically letters of interest. Each carrier has a different requirement. And basically you inquire, I'd like to get my practice and my providers in your network. You give them some basic information. There's a dialogue that goes on back and forth, and then they move on to the next level. You start the process of enrollment, And that enrollment process has a criteria. It's almost, let's just call it a background check. It's credentialing. They are checking the credentials of your practice and your providers. What is your business status? Is there a tax ID number? Are they a sub-S corporation, a limited liability corporation? Does this provider have malpractice insurance? Does he have any dings or she have any issues, any sanctions, anything against their license, anything that would prevent them from, you know, that's credentialing, doing a basic background check on the providers as well as the clinic itself to make sure it's legitimate. That's the credentialing portion, and that ties into the contracting portion, which means once we get past that, now we start negotiating the contract with the insurance company. Now, again, I said negotiating. The days of negotiating fee schedule are over with. That doesn't exist anymore. I was able to do that 20 years ago. You don't really do it now. You have to be in a real specialized field for that to really occur or have some unusual situations or be in a remote area, an underserved area to have any status. I'm talking about actually obtaining the contract for the providers and the group within that medical entity. So credentialing and contracting is the process of making sure and meeting the criteria of the insurance companies to potentially establish a contract with them.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot of sense now. So I guess the big... You know, my next question was going to be, why is it so important? I guess really from, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's so important because for patients to be able to go see the provider, they have to be in those specialized plans that the patient has, right?
Well, not always. I mean, there's going to be insurance companies that you may choose as a provider not to contract with. But that doesn't mean you want to be not contracted with everyone. You may decide, hey, I really want to be a Medicare provider. I want to be able to see Medicare patients, maybe DME, durable medical equipment, if you have a practice that is dispensing DME. And we have some special workarounds in that regard that aren't, you know, that's a whole different topic, but that are, let's call it less hassle to run your DME through your practice. And let's say you want to be a Blue Cross provider and you want to hit United Healthcare and you want to do Aetna, but maybe you have a problem with Cigna. Maybe you're a chiropractor and the ASH plans, which pay the per diem rate, are not attractive to you or not profitable for your office. That's okay. You let the patient know who you're in and who you're out of network with. And here's the upside with regard to the carriers that you choose not to enroll with. Let's say that your practice is, for the most part, contract with all the major carriers and Medicare, et cetera, but you choose, I'm not picking on Cigna, I'm just using it as an example. We choose not to enroll with Cigna. Then that just simply means that you can still see those Cigna patients. It just means that the insurance company will reimburse you at the out-of-network rate. If the insurance company has, I mean, if that patient's plan includes out-of-network benefits. So, and if most PPOs, EPOs, POSs, they all do. HMOs don't have out-of-network benefits. But that's part of your front desk staff's responsibility when they do their insurance verifications. So when that patient comes in, if they're out-of-network or in-network, either way, you want to have well-educated patients when it comes to what their fees are going to be. But you do your insurance verification, and you let the patient know, Ms. Smith, we do accept your insurance Cigna. I want you to know that. However, we are not your benefits, and here will be your cost today, and here's your out-of-network benefits. So being out of network doesn't mean you can't see those patients on a cash basis or that you can't see those patients as at the out-of-network rate and get at least some reimbursement from the insurance company as well as from the patient. The difference, let's say, for example, might be in network with Cigna, it's an 80% insurance, 20% coinsurance from the patient. Out of network might be 60-40. That makes sense?
Gotcha. That makes sense. I understand. Okay, that kind of clears that up for me. Can you describe the process a little bit of what you go through to get a provider credentialed?
Yes, it's a lengthy process. And the first thing I want providers to understand is that the difference between, I hear it all the time, I want to get my facility credentialed. Once my facility is credentialed, I'm good to go, right? I mean, then I'm enrolled and we're good to go. Doesn't work that way. In the medical world, in our world, there's terminology that's used, facility and non-facility. In the insurance world, a facility is an entity such as a hospital, a nursing home, an outpatient rehab facility. Those are considered facilities, and there's so much turnover, so many doctors and NPs and providers coming through. They don't require that each provider establish a contract. They just credential the hospital. But 99% of the folks that are listening right now that are here with us tonight are a non-facility, and that is a clinic, a medical clinic practice of some kind, where whether you're one doctor or you're 100 doctors, you're still a non-facility. And so the credentialing process, your facility, your practice is part of the credentialing process. It has to be included because that's your tax ID number, et cetera. But then the providers within that group have to be linked, and they have to have their own contracts within that group. And the money that those providers generate is directed to the group. So credentialing, that's the first thing I want to stress is, you know, that don't be under the impression that you somehow, once you credential your group, your facilities in network, or you have a group, say, Medicare number, that means everybody in the practice is automatically good to go. That is not how it works. That the practice is simply a part of the process, and that's where you're directing your money and your correspondence to. The providers within the group are contracted and are responsible for the patients that they see, which is a good thing. It protects the corporation, protects one doctor against the other, protects the patients, et cetera.
What happens if, like, a doc's credentialed with Blue Cross Blue Shield from, like, a private practice, like a regular private practice, and decides to join another practice? Do they have to go through credentialing again?
They do. I love that question. That is another area I want to stress to everybody is that it does not, your credentialing and contracts do not travel with you. And see, that's when I get that, remember in the very beginning of our visit this evening, I said that they come to me in trouble with their billing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. 95% of the time they brought new providers on board, not done the proper credentialing process. Oh, my doc, I just hired him. He's already in the network, or she's already in all the networks. Doesn't matter. That's linked to a separate tax ID number. So
is it easier?
I'm sorry.
Is it easier, though, to, if they're coming from another office where they were credentialed, does it make it faster to get them credentialed into this new office, or that doesn't matter?
It with some carriers, it does help to expedite it, and some it does not. Remember, when we're talking about credentialing, another thing I want to clarify, it is not all one. These are all individual businesses. Each insurance carrier, they have nothing to do with the other one. So when you do credentialing, it's not like, okay, I want to credential with all these people, and I just work with one application, and off it goes. It's not how it works. You have to work with Aetna and their credentialing criteria one way, Blue Cross another way, Medicare is another one, Aetna's this way, UHC is that way. Everybody has their own criteria and process of credentialing. But it does help in some cases if a provider has been in the workforce and worked for a couple of other providers, either practice of their own or an employee of another practice, and now they come to work with you and they were already a Blue Cross provider. It does expedite. You still have to go through the process, though. You still do everything the same, but it does tend to process a little quicker.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to know that. How long does it usually take, on average, to get a provider credentialed? If they've never been in the insurance plan before, or if they have been in the insurance plan, to get them recredentialed into this new company?
Well, and that's a very good question, and it's a long answer, and I'll try to be brief. Let me just say that whenever you start credentialing a provider in your group, if you're an established group, well, I'm ABC Medical Group, I'm already set up, I have my group established with Medicare and Blue Cross, and I'm credentialed and all my providers are, and I'm bringing on an additional physician to my group. I'm adding that physician to my group that's already established. It's going to go, again, a little bit quicker to get that provider added to my group because my group is already established. So let's just take Medicare and the major carriers. Let's use them as an example. That'd be Medicare, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, Aetna, Cigna, Humana. I already mentioned Humana. Let's say MultiPlan, formerly PHCS. Those are the big boys. So if I want to credential my new provider in Medicare and what I call the Big Six, and I'm adding them to my group because I'm already in that group, we're going to see that most of that done within a 90-day period. I might get my Cigna, my Blue Cross done in the first 30 days. You know, every
right.
carrier is a different business. They're all going to have their own processing time. Medicare may take 85 days. It may take 45 days. Again, let's take right now as an example, the government shut down. So we're going to have a much, as long as that's going on, this is one of the departments that has been not shut down, but slowed down. So we're going through a period now where the credentialing is going to slow down some for Medicare. You follow
me? Oh, I see.
And
yeah,
if it's Blue Cross and it's a Medicare product, you know, within Blue Cross, such as an Advantage plan, that's going to be impacted. So normally, if you're let me kind of back up and state it this way. With that said, if you're a brand new practice, brand new docs, let's say you've established a new MDDC practice, and you've got your corporate paperwork in line, your bank account set up, et cetera, and it's going to be yourself and a couple of other docs, and you say, hey, Tia, we want to get the credentialing going as quickly as possible, ready to rock and roll, what do you need? I tell you, we start the process. We should have, for those carriers I just mentioned, Medicare and the Big Six, we should have, I would say, 70% of it done within the first 90 days.
Oh, wow.
And then some, but then some will straggle. Things are going to happen. Humana tends to be the slowest one. Cigna tends to be one of the first ones. They're a little bit quicker. Medicare, again, it depends on the carrier, the state, the contractor, because as we know, Medicare, CMS is a federal program, but each state has their own contractor, and I've worked with all of them. And so I can tell you the ones that are better and faster and more efficient, and the ones that aren't as helpful, it'll take a little bit longer. But basically, if you're a brand new practice, as I mentioned, and trying to establish your group, we can get about 90%. I'd say we'd be about 70% through that within 90 days. But there's going to be those that take longer, and your effective dates are going to all be different. We may get an effective date with Medicare, you know, of August 1st, and then the effective date with Cigna was August 15th. When Humana wraps theirs up, I may not have an effective date until November. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So
it is.
There is no yes or no or definite answers on this because they're all different businesses with their own criteria and their own time frames based on what's going on during that time within that carrier. If it is a practice, as I mentioned, that's established, it's going to go a little bit quicker. But you pick up the telephone. The insurance companies, their disclaimer, when you ask any credentialing, any carrier, they will tell you 90 to 180 days.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes sense. Well, let me ask you, what type of providers do you work with? Do you only do MDs and DOs?
No. Any kind of specialty. We do facilities, non-facilities. We do all types of physical medicine, chiropractors, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, medical doc MDs. Optometrists, any surgeons, we do it all. There's really not anything I've never credentialed, I don't think. No specialty. I've done them just about. I think the only thing I've never done is ambulance.
Gotcha.
So we know
no
how to
what,
do
yeah.
all the specialties.
No matter who they hire, no matter who the docs hire.
We pretty much got it. Nurse practitioners, PAs, any mid-levels, you know, we know what to do, what's needed, what's required.
Gotcha. Now, are some states tougher than others to get people credentialed?
They are. Some are tougher than others. And again, it depends on what you're trying to do. If I'm a multidiscipline practice and I'm in Florida, Blue Cross in Florida does not recognize multidiscipline practices. You can't do it. I can get the doctors contracted with no problem and all the other carriers, including Medicare, that we have to pay. We have to consider how we're going to handle our Blue Cross patients. Minnesota is a tough state across the board for chiropractors. They're just tough. They're not even really easy on MDs. They're not picky, but they're very difficult on chiropractors in Minnesota. That's a state that I don't look forward to. I always am sad to have to tell a potential client, now we'll get you in these networks, but it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to take a lot longer, and your state is not chiropractor friendly. Texas is pretty good across the board, no issues there. California, I mean, we work in every state. So,
oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, I can do credentialing and billing for that matter in any state because we have knowledge of the state laws in each state.
That's fantastic. Now, I mean, I think I know the answer to this question just from hearing you talk, but how about if a doc decided to do their own credentialing without the use of an expert such as yourselves, what are the pitfalls and mistakes that they typically make?
Well, we would need another this would need to be like a 5-part interview. The stories I've heard are absolutely horrible. It's very difficult. It is a very difficult process. I think sometimes in our minds, a provider or even just Mary Jane behind the front desk, I'm going to refer to Mary Jane as our front office person, whether she's 18 or 80, and we love her to death, and she's got great qualities as far as patient care, you know, chart retrieval, running the office, making appointments, everything you could think of, you know, doing payroll, whatever it might be, even billing. But this credentialing is a different animal. And it's not a matter of filling out applications and sending it in and waiting. It just isn't. It's not what it is. It is a multi-tiered process. And that's where the doctors, that's the pitfall, because they don't realize it. Insurance companies are not regulated as far, like they are with billing, as far as time frames, what they have to do, nothing. They can just lose your file and say, I never got it, never saw that application. I mean, there's very little regulation for insurance companies with regard to credentialing. It is they have policies, and they'll tell you, well, yeah, we need to get it done within this time frame. But all they have to do to bypass that policy and not help you or not get you done, not get the work done, is to say they never got it, to say, well, you didn't put this in there with it, you didn't send this attachment, that attachment, you know, your CAQH is not updated. This and that and the other, then they don't correspond. They do not pick up the phone and call you and ask you. Believe it or not, Medicare is probably, well, some Medicare contractors are probably, is probably the best example of when they actually do respond to you and actually will actually pick up the phone and call and say, hey, we need this or that. That's rare, but they'll actually at least respond. But the commercial carriers, forget it. You have to work at this process. It's not the paperwork, which is significant enough, and the attachments, which is significant enough. It is the tracking. And you can sit here in my office and listen to the credentialing department. They sound like my AR department. They are on the phone constantly. Just as you call on your aging, when your billing person should be calling every day on your AR and asking where your money is. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Your credentialing person is doing the same thing. Yes, we sent our application in. You received it. Could you give me the status of it, please? You have to stay on them. And that's a pitfall. Doctor's offices, front office staff, or even very good billing departments, they don't know these different things. And so they think, well, what do I do? Oh, I fill this form out. Okay, let me send it in. And they think they're done. It's not. It's just the beginning. You have to stay on. You have to get the information to them. It has to be current. The CAQH has to be updated properly. Malpractice insurance is required. Collaborating insurance, collaborating physician agreements for NPs and PAs.
It's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. You do not fill an application out, sit back, and wait. And this is the worst call that I get is from those offices that do try to do it on their own, and then I have to pick it up halfway through and they're 6 months into it and nothing's happened and they close the contract, close the application, or it's still processing, but it's so messed up I got to go in and fix it and take it from there. And we do that, and we'll evaluate where you're at and say, look, you've made done so much wrong here that it's smarter just to start over. Don't even try to correct this. And we'll evaluate that if we help you, you know, midway through. But for me, I get my docs, I get all their credentialing done very quickly, as quickly as there's no one that can get it done quicker than me. Now, I can't get it done quicker because, you know, the time frames are what they are. There's nothing I can do about that. But I can get it done faster than anybody else can, or as fast as another person that is equal to my expertise, our company's expertise, because we know the ins and outs. We have contacts. We've learned all the tricks. We know what they want. We know what they don't want. We know, you put the NPI, the type 2 NPI in this spot, type 1 there. Biggest problem is legal business status. Most providers, and I mean even owners, as well as staff physicians, as well as front and back office staff do not even always know the legal business name of their company. And everything in credentialing is based around that. And that's probably the biggest pitfall. People don't know. A lot of people, let's say that, you know, I name my corporation Genesis Incorporated. I'm a sub-S. But I'm going by the assumed name or doing business as ABC Medical. Well, Mary Jane, who's doing my credentialing at the front desk, when she's on the paper, it just puts ABC Medical. Never going to happen. You will never get credentialed. And if you do, and then your billing's going out a different way with different names, you'll never get paid. And then I get the phone call for billing.
I see. Okay. So it's crucial to use a pro. Can you kind of talk a little bit about the fees that are associated with using your service?
Sure. It's kind of tough to give that number because I first need to know what the provider wants. If the provider says, hey, let's take the example we had before of a brand new practice that is, let's say it's a chiropractor and an MD that have decided to go into business together and establish an MD-DC practice and hire doctors of different specialties. So we jump out there, you get your corporate paperwork, get all that done, contact me. Tia, we're ready to go. We want a credential. Myself and my other doc here, we want to be credentialed. We want to do Medicare and the Big Six, as I mentioned before. Your Medicare products, any federal or state products are going to have a higher fee because of all the reasons I just explained previously. All credentialing is complicated and lengthy and requires a lot of work and follow-up. But the federal and state products such as Medicare, Medicare DME, TRICARE, CHAMPUS, Workman's Comp, oh, now there's a nightmare. Those are all going to have higher cost attached to them because they're federal. They're more work. There's more involved to it. Commercial carriers are a little bit less. They're still wanting a lot of that same information, but they're going to be a little bit less complicated. So it's kind of hard to say. You'd have to tell me what carriers you'd like to be enrolled with before we can really give a definite fee. But if it's going to run you around, if it's a brand new group and you're going to have Medicare, at least one state product, and the main commercial carriers we discussed before to establish the group and then add the provider within, it'd be about $1,500. That kind of gives you a baseline. But now if you say, well, I want Medicare and Medicaid and TRICARE, and I don't want Aetna, you know what I'm saying? We pick and choose. You have to say, okay, I want this or that. And each carrier has a different fee attached to it because of the complication.
Sure,
it's harder,
makes sense.
It costs more. It's just like anything else.
That's not too bad. So if the docs tonight or anyone else wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is we have two offices in Texas. One is in Kerrville, Texas, which is just west of San Antonio. And then we have one in Austin, Texas. And my home is in the Kerrville area, so that's where I consider to be my headquarters. And that number is 830-238-4112. And by calling that number, they will find me. If I'm either at this office, that office, or en route between the two with my cell phone. So you just call, and they'll get to me via email, text, or telephone, or they'll just tell you the number where I am, and you can find me.
Good insight into the field of credentialing. There's a lot of questions that I didn't know the answers to, and I'm sure many of the docs on the call tonight feel the same way. So if any of you on the call want to get a hold of Tia, remember the number is 830-238-4112. That's 830-238-4112. Tia, thank you so much for your time tonight. It was really helpful. We appreciate everything. And thanks so much. It was a pleasure having you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, too. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Sounds like a plan. All right, guys, if any of you have any questions about tonight's interview, you can always email me as well. My email is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at hcrcstaffing.com. Or you can always call my cell, 267-251-5275. I hope you all had a great time tonight, answered a lot of questions. Be well, be safe, and we'll talk soon. Good night.